You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Scotty. Ensemble, choir, that was awesome. Thank you. How is everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing okay? Good, good. I am so thankful that Pastor Gavin allows Joey and I to be able to fill the pulpit whenever him and his family need to be out for a Sunday. And so I'm just so thankful that he has allowed us to do this. Not many churches allow their student pastors to be able to fill the pulpit. And so that means a lot that I'm able to come, be able to open up God's word with you this morning. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to go ahead and head that way. Before we do, many of you knew me growing up. Some of you didn't, but if you didn't know me, growing up, I always wanted to be a teacher and a basketball coach. And teacher, I wanted to teach history. I fell in love with history at an early age. I even got a bachelor's degree in history from Northwestern. There's a lot you can do with that. Not really. I don't really know what you can do with a history degree, but I got one of those. But in college and even in high school, I loved taking the history classes, but I really liked the political classes. Civics, political science, any of those classes were very interesting to me. Just to give you a glimpse into how weird I am, while I was at student camp, when we were getting in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was listening to the debates that were happening, like when we had our last presidential election, when we had the Republican debates, the Democrat debates. I listened to all of them multiple times. I'm just weird like that. I like politics. I like that kind of stuff. It's fun to me. My wife likes to make fun of me, but whatever. But one of the things that I think is so fascinating about our politics and how we do things is the State of the Union. Who's familiar? I'm sure many of you. The State of the Union, when the president gets up in front of Congress, in front of the Supreme Court, in front of all these different people, and begins to share with them about where we've been the last year and where we would like to go moving forward. And I want to share with you very briefly, since I didn't get to teach history, I want to share with you very briefly about a minute of the history of the State of the Union, if that's okay, just for a moment. In Article 2, Section 3, in our Constitution, the Founding Fathers wrote in this State of the Union, and it said, "The President shall come from time to time to give Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient." So George Washington, our very first president, he did States of the Union. Back then, they were called the annual message. But if you noticed in that first writing of it, it doesn't say that it has to be an annual message. It said just from time to time, the president should come and talk to Congress. George Washington deemed that it would make sense to come once a year. So that became the tradition from then on out. Presidents would come once a year. But in 1801, Thomas Jefferson had a debilitating fear of speaking in front of people. And so just like many of us, he justified his way out of having to do that. So he said, "We just came from a monarchy. It doesn't make sense for one man to come and tell to the Congress what he wants done, so I'm going to handwrite it and I'm going to send it in." So he handwrote his message in and sent it in both times for his time he had to do his messages. But what was interesting is that became the tradition then moving forward all the way up until 1913. That's what all the presidents did. They handwrote their State of the Union, sent it in. In 1913, Woodrow Wilson, who had a PhD in political science, I didn't know that, he said, "Man, I'd be good for me to go speak in front of Congress so they can hear directly from me what we need to do as a country." So he began speaking and doing, and that became the tradition. Now moving forward, in 1940 is whenever it changed to the State of the Union. Now, why did I tell you all that, right? Like, what does that have to do with anything? When I think of this time of year, that right after Christmas all the way up until about New Year's, I think a lot of us begin to do a state of me. We begin to look at ourselves. Where have we been this last year? What have we done this last year in 2021? And where do we want to go moving forward into this next year? I believe this little window of time, that's what each and every one of us do. And so today, I want us to look at a passage that I believe will help us this week as we begin looking back at what we've done this last year and as we begin to move forward into this new year and what God has for us. So hopefully you're already there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be in verses 7 through 10 together. So if you would, follow along. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it may be departed from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. If you would, let's pray together, and we'll get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in prayer. Thankful for this morning, thankful for the opportunity we have to be able to open up your word. I pray that you would help me to be able to communicate clearly the words that you had given me this morning. And I pray that you would help me to be able to help us see, using your word, how we can most effectively as believers move into this next year, set goals, whatever it is that we do, so that we can be bringing more glory and more honor to your name and live a life that is centered and focused on you. Pray that everything we do is centered and focused on you. Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so my first point this morning is we all go through tough times. I wanna look back at verses 7-8 real quick. It says this, and lest I should be exalted above measure, this is Paul speaking, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it may depart from me. All right, so we all, if we look back into our 2021, hopefully it was better than 2020. We were looking at some students, we were talking about that this morning. In 2020, we didn't get to go to student camp, we didn't get to go to YC, our weekend blast was messed up because of the tornado that happened at 2020. So 2020 was crazy, but 2021 was hopefully better for you, but we're all probably had some tough times in 2021. We look back at your year. When we look back, we may notice some of those things. When I was growing up playing basketball, what we would often do is we would watch film. So we would have a game, we would go back and we would watch the film, figure out the areas that we messed up and be able to try to correct it. And so let's say on a Friday night, I would have a good game. It was rare, but let's say I had a good game on a Friday night. I just saw Mr. Bo. I wanted to point him out real quick. I don't know if you remember this. When I was a teenager, student section was over here. On Sunday mornings, you would come to me and you would say, hey, young man, I saw in the paper you scored 18 points. Or you would come to me and you would say something to me. That meant so much to me as a teenager. Someone that I didn't really even know come up to me and said that. That meant a lot to me. Anyway, sorry, I just saw you remember that. But let's say on Friday, I had a good game. On Monday, I know we're going to watch film. So I'd be fired up, ready to talk about film because I had all these good things that we were going to talk about. And everybody's going to talk about me and it was going to be fun. That's never what happened. Coach would find all of the bad things you did, the play you didn't hustle back on, the play that you didn't get the backside rebound, whenever the guy scored 3 possessions on you in a row. Whatever the case may be, Coach was going to find the areas in where you fell short. Did he do that because he didn't love us? No, he found those areas. He helped point those areas out to us so that we can improve, so that we could do better moving on to the next game. In the same way, I think it's good for us to take moments and look back and find the areas and maybe where we fell short, maybe areas that it wasn't necessarily our fault. Whenever that guy scored on me 3 times, I would probably say it wasn't my fault, right? It was something else that happened. But there's things that happen in our life that necessarily isn't our fault, and there's some things that are. I believe it's good for us to go back, look at those things, figure out what can we do better as we begin to try to move forward into the next year. Sorry, I had a brain freeze. But what seems to happen, or what I want us to know, or what a lot of Christians seems to happen to them, is they begin to think that just because I'm a Christian, just because I'm a follower of Jesus, that everything's going to go well. Everything's going to go smooth. Everything should go fall perfectly in line for me because I'm following Jesus. I'm a life group leader. I serve at the church. I'm a greeter. Whatever the case may be, you think everything should go smoothly for me. And as you probably know, many of you are seasoned believers in here. That's just not the case, right? And if that were to be true, I think it would be true for the Apostle Paul, the guy who serves the Lord mightily, the guy who goes from town to town preaching the gospel. If anyone could say, hey, Lord, make it a little easier for me because of all that I've done, it would be for the Apostle Paul. But if you haven't, if you don't remember some of the things that happened to him, let me read for you. It's the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. On me, it's on the same page. I'll read for you real quick, verses 23 through 27. And it says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys of tens, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern is for all the churches. When we look at Paul's life, he had so many things that went wrong for him, so many things that were hard, tough times in his life. And this is the guy that served the Lord better than probably any of us could ever dream. And he had tough times. So for us to be able to think that, man, our life should go smooth because we live in Halton and we go to First Baptist Halton or we do whatever it is, plug in your excuse, that's just not reality. We're all gonna face tough times. And that's okay. The Lord loves us and he uses it for us to be able to move forward. But I don't want us to miss Paul's response. He just said that in chapter 11, but I want to see Paul's response in verse 8, what we just read a minute ago. Concerning these things, the thorn in his side he was talking about, I pleaded to the Lord three times that he may take it away from me. He said, I pleaded to the Lord three times. Now, that's not a model that Paul made up. It's a model that he learned from Jesus. If we remember Jesus in the garden, right before he went to be arrested to have to go to the cross, what did he do? He went to the garden. He got away from Peter, James, and John. He went to pray. They fell asleep. He came back and woke them up. Hey, y'all, focus, focus. And then he went and prayed again, came back and said, guys, you fell asleep again. Like, focus, let's go. And he went back. He prayed a third time. Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father, knowing that a tough time was coming his way. He pleaded to the Lord, whatever your will be done, that's fine. But if there's a plan B, let's do that. If there's any other option, let's do that. But he said, but Lord, nevertheless, whatever your will be done, that's what will be done. And so his heart, his desire was to follow what God's will for his life is. Is that our desire as well? When you look back at what's happened in this last year, the tough times, were you pleading to the Lord to take that away? And are you okay if his answer was no? Were you okay with that? Jesus was in a moment where he could have done anything else, but he looked at the Lord and said, but Lord, whatever your will be done. I don't know what was done in this last year, the tough time for you, but I promise God has a plan for it and he will use it for good. Amen. Point number one, we all go through tough times. Point number two, we all need God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says this, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. What does the word sufficient mean? I Googled it for you if you didn't know, but it means enough. My grace is enough for you. I'll take it a step further. My grace is more than enough for you. That's when I read that, that's what I think. It's more than enough. When I look back at my childhood, my grandparents, or both my grandmas especially, spoiled me to death, which was fun. I loved it. My grandma Lewis, I was into cars. My family liked cars. So all the Hot Wheels, Matchbox cars, we just had tubs and tubs and tubs of cars. We had more than enough cars that we needed. My grandma Heard, I was into Pokemon at the time, which is whatever. I was into Pokemon. It was weird. But to beat all of my friends, you had to have more and more of these cards to be able to get the best cards. And so I had more cards than anyone on my block. I had more than enough Pokemon cards to be able to do what I needed to do. Another thing my grandma Heard would do, whenever I would go to her house, she called me her king. So I would be like a little kid in her king size bed. She'd tuck me in. That was funny to her. I'd be in the bed, tucked into the bed. She had this electric what's it called? Electric heater, electric blanket that would be underneath me. I'd be snuggled up. She'd bring me a huge thing of Sprite that I would have. And then she'd always have me a platter of nachos, right? Like a huge platter for like a six-year-old, right? I had more than enough that I needed of nachos. A great example, the last few days, we had Christmas around my house. So my family, my wife, well, she She probably gave our girls more than enough presents. I'm sure you can relate. But the grandmas, they're here, both of them. So I told them I was going to talk about them for just a minute. The granddads, they both kind of have kind of, well, my father-in-law, he's a little more gracious about it. My dad makes it clear they have more than enough presents, right? All the grandkids, the little girls, the little boys, they have more than enough, which is true. But why did my grandparents do that to me? Why does my mom and my mother-in-law, why do they do that to their grandkids? Because they love them so much, right? So much love for them. They give them more than enough that they need, more. It goes above and beyond what they need. So when you read that passage, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. It says, my grace is enough for you. Think of my grace is more than enough. No matter what happens, his grace covers and goes above and beyond. That's a beautiful picture for us of God's grace. But also in Matthew 14, verses 16 through 20 is a story that many of us are probably familiar with. When Jesus fed the 5,000, had been walking around preaching. There was this multitude of people that were following him. And then he gets to the place, and let's see what he said, just to remind us. A lot of you, I'm sure, have heard it. But Matthew 14, verses 16 through 20. It says, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded to the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. When I look at that story, many of us probably, if you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's a decent amount for a good meal, right? You think, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. But then you look out at the multitudes, it was 5,000 people. That's really, that probably doesn't look that great. That's what the disciples were struggling with. Jesus, we're not going to be able to feed all of these people. They didn't have faith in what Jesus was going to do with it. Jesus took it, multiplied it, and said there was 12 baskets left over. They had what? More than enough. They had more than enough that God offered to them and used that for them. So when we think of God's grace, that's the picture we should have in our life, in our mind, that his grace can go above and beyond anything that's in our life. Because you may be like me and you look back into 2021 and you look at some of the things in your life and you say, but God, this is this massive thing that I've done or this thing that's in my life. There's no way that your grace can cover it. The same way when the disciples looked out at the crowd, they said, there's no way this little loaf of bread and this fish is going to be enough. But Jesus smiled, said, okay. And he went above and beyond whatever they could have imagined. When you look back at your life, understand this. If you miss anything else I say today, don't miss this. God's grace is enough for you. That's for the believer that's in the room. Maybe you've been struggling with something. God's grace is enough for you. For those of you who are in this room that may not know Jesus, God's grace is more than enough for you. Whatever it is you have that's happening in your life, turn to him and he will do miraculous things for you. Final thing I want us to see is our third point. We should all lean on Christ as we move forward into this next year. I'll read the remainder of verse 12 for you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says this, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying here, as you begin to move forward, you should look at your life, look at the areas where maybe you fall short. The areas of your life where you need God to step in and be able to help fill those so that you can move forward. Some of the weaknesses in your life. One of my first jobs I ever had was when I was about 16. Before I started to ministry, I was a referee in college. That was fun, getting yelled at by frat guys. But after that, or before that, I worked at Shane's. Many of you came there and gave me tips when I worked at Shane's. Thank you. I appreciate you more than you know. But before that, I worked at a fireworks stand. It was like 4 or 5 days that I worked there. This guy that owned the fireworks stand knew my mom. And so he had met her and said, hey, do you know anybody that can help run my fireworks stand? And she said, well, I got a son. And if you've ever met my mom, she's incredible. And he said, well, if he's anything like you, then I want him. And so he hired me sight unseen. I showed up. He said, bring you and your friend, and I need y'all to work this fireworks stand. It's pretty much this same time, December 26th, all the way up to New Year's. He said, the first few days leading up to it, it's going to be very slow. So you and your friend, y'all could figure it out. Y'all could work it. And then I'm going to send some adults and some other people to come work on New Year's Eve because it's going to be crazy that night. He said, but the most important thing I need you to know, the night before New Year's Eve, I need you to go back into, we had like this little shipping container behind the shop that had all the inventory, all the things that we would need to sell. He said, on the night before, it's desperate that you go in there and you tell me all the areas and where you were short, all the things that are you were in short supply, so the next morning I could feel it so that we can do the best business we can on New Year's Eve. He said, I need you to go figure out the areas you were short so that we can feel it. That's the same thing that we're learning about here. We need to identify the areas in our life, the weaknesses, the areas that we are short in, and then ask the Lord to come and fill those. That may be in your scripture reading. That may be in some of the faith that you have and what God can do. I don't know what it is for you, but there's areas of our life, if we're honest, that we have weaknesses in. That's what Paul's talking about here, that we're gonna lean on Christ to be able to help carry us through as we move into this next year. So the first thing that we should do to lean on Christ, we have to identify the areas we need help. The second thing is we should lean in and fully trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. A passage we're all familiar with, but I want to ask you a quick question. How many of you has ever been to a NASCAR race? Anybody? Show of hands. A few of you, my people, I love you. Cool. Just kidding. But my family growing up, like I said earlier, we loved racing. We went to a lot of NASCAR races. One of the NASCAR races that we went to the most was Talladega. Don't know how familiar you are with it, but it's a humongous track. It's 2.66 miles all the way around the track. They do like 188 laps or something that equals up to 500 miles. I don't remember. But it was a long track. And what this is called is restrictor plate racing. I'm not going to get into all the details because I'll bore you to death. But it's the cars all went about the same speed. So they were all bunched up together. If you've ever seen NASCAR, they're like three or four wide running. They're going about 190 to 200 miles an hour, just inches away from each other, moving and doing all kinds of stuff. It really is impressive when you sit down and watch it. They're not just turning left, right? Like there's more than that going on. But so when you think of a NASCAR team, even if you've never really watched NASCAR, there's the driver, that's important. But then there's the pit crew, the people that change the tires, that add the fuel. You know, maybe you can understand that team. But many people, if you've not really involved in NASCAR, even if you are, you may not know this, there's spotters that are involved. Spotters are at the very top of the arena or top of the stadium, and they're looking down on the track. And they're talking to the driver. They're in the driver's ear, telling the driver different things. Hey, there's a wreck coming up. You need to watch out. Go low, go high. There's somebody coming up to you on the right side or whatever. They talk to them and give them a lot of information. And I know maybe for some of us it's hard to picture. I have a quick video. It's like 1 minute. Check it out, and we'll begin to wrap up.
Green, green, green. Rolling line in front of you. Brad is tight on the 10.
So you're hearing the spotter.
Three back to the 34. Most are shooting to the bottom already here. Get you down when I can. Stay up there. Stay up.
Now, turn out, turn one.
They're wrecking behind you. Keep digging. Cars are behind. All wreck behind you. They're up at the top. Let's just watch them come across. Check up. Nice and easy. Keep coming. Watch them up top here. You're good. Watch this 34. You're good to sneak up. Easy. Keep it on line. Stage winner. Woo!
Let's go, baby!
Pit it! Two tires! Wheel, Brad, turn the wheel thing! Get the wheel back! To the left!
Coming to you. Got a crash up top there. Alright, caution's out.
Stay low.
Okay, you took the right, hammer down here. Let's go, keep going. Alright, caution's out. I believe it's over. I get the push, but you're clear by 5 foot. So one back 47, coming to the right. So good by 147. He is clear by 2 to the second lane. You're still clear to the top by 4 to the second lane.
Coming white flag here. First 3 still clear.
Right on you.
Got a wreck on the front stretch. Caution is out.
Good job, fellas. Should be us there.
We get it.
Checking flag. Race winner. Yeah, buddy.
Baby, yeah. Awesome job, guys. Thank you.
Bud, we won a speedway race.
Great job.
All right, we
proud of you. Proud of you.
But so if you've never heard of the spotters before, those spotters are talking the entire time. They're having to give information to that driver that they need to know in that moment. If the driver was to have a moment of hesitation, a moment to say, you know what, I don't know if the wreck's really up ahead of me up high, I need to go low, or this guy really is not coming up that much faster next to me. If he has a moment of doubt, bad things could happen with the wreck, whatever the case may be. He has to have full trust in that spotter, that spotter is telling him the correct information, right? He has to trust him that he's telling him what's true, and he has to act on a moment's notice. Do we have the same faith in this word? God has given us this word. He's telling us what's coming up ahead, what's coming up behind us, what's happening in our life. He's giving us advice here. Do we have full trust? Do we have as much trust as a NASCAR driver has in their spotter that we should have in God's word? As we move into this next year and we identify the areas in our life where we fall short that we need to lean on the Lord, are we willing to fully trust him? Are we willing to say, you know what, Lord, you have a perfect track record. These spotters, they probably mess up a time or two. And these drivers still trust them. We have a perfect track record. Our Heavenly Father has never let us down. There may be moments in your life where you maybe say, God, I don't understand why this is happening. But years later, when you look back, you say, God, I see what you did. In the moment, I may not have understood it, but I understand now. Is that our life now? Do we say, you know what, Lord, whatever may come, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your word that it's perfect and you have a perfect plan for me. So as we begin to close today, as we look back at 2021, understand that there were some tough times that we had, that God has given us grace that we can have over that, that we know that he loves us and he cares for us, and we're going to be able to move forward into 2021. And as we begin to move forward, we need to be able to identify those areas where we fall short so that we can lean on him and trust him as we move into this next year. So then the final question before I close, what areas do you need God to move? You know, what are your goals? I don't like using the word goals, but what are your things that you want to happen in 2022 in your spiritual life? What are they? For some of us, it may be the normal things like, God, I want to read my Bible more. I want to memorize more scripture. I want to spend more time in prayer. Those are all great things. But maybe some other things, if we want to dig a little deeper, that maybe we can ask the Lord to move in our life. Maybe for some of us, it's to be a peacemaker. Maybe that's in your family, at your job, whatever the case may be, in your own home. Be the one that instead of spitting hostility out of your mouth, that you have peace, that you are the one looking to rectify things, to fix things. When people see you coming in 2022, they know that you're coming with peace to be able to make things better. Maybe that's something you need to ask the Lord to help you with this year. Maybe for some of us, we need to take a season of denying ourselves. Really, that should be most of our life, if not all of our life, but denying ourselves, intentionally looking for ways to put ourselves last and to put others before us, wherever that may be, at your work, in your home. The last and final thing I'll say before we close is maybe you need to be always rejoicing. I know this is something that, if I'm being honest, that maybe I can learn a little bit from. Some of my friends would say that, not that I'm negative, because negative is a bad word, critical. I'm very critical. I can find the flaw in anything and be able to, because I want things to be done better. I want things to be done to the highest standard possible. So I try to find those things, try to fix it. I try to make it sound nicer than it is. But if I'm being honest, I try to find negative things so that we can fix and improve. But maybe in my life, personally, I need to be more rejoicing, finding positive things, if I'm being transparent with us in this room. But what is it for you that you need to say, you know what, Lord, here's areas I'm falling short. As I move into this next year, as I look to serve you, what is it you can do in me that I can serve and be able to bring honor to your name better? If you would, bow your head for just a moment. As we begin to close, we'll have the band come back up and get ready for invitation. But I want to ask us this question. What is it for you? As we begin to pray, as we begin to close, what is it for you that you need the Lord to do in your life? As we close in just a moment, maybe you need to come to this altar and pray and ask the Lord to do that for you, to be able to help show you what that is that you need. Maybe for others in the room, maybe you just need to stay seated in your chair and be able to pray there. You can preach the Heavenly Father there as much as you can at the altar. Whatever the case may be for those believers in the room, what is it that you need to do to be able to move forward in 2021 with the Heavenly Father alongside of you? But for some of us in this room, as we were talking about grace earlier, that grace has, God has more grace, more than enough grace for you. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you said, you know what, I've never accepted that grace. I've never had a moment where I've said, you know what, I am a sinner, I need Jesus, and I want to give him my life, and I want to have that more than enough grace that is so sufficient for my life. Maybe that's you today. If that's you, in just a moment, when we come up here, you can come, we'll have pastors up here, you can come grab one of us, let us know that. We can pray with you, we can get you with a counselor to help you make that decision. But whatever you need to do, in just a moment, whenever this music starts, you feel free to move, come to the altar, be where you're at, whatever you need to do. Feel the Lord be able to help to decide what that needs to be. Let me pray, and we'll start with invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. So thankful for this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to open up your word, to be able to help give us a guide as we begin to look back at what we've done this last year, but also be able to move forward in what you have for us in 2022. We look forward to giving you all the praise, honor, and glory for everything you want to do in and through us and through our church. I pray that everything we do is centered and focused on you. Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.